Daniel received a vision, and the vision was one of difficulty. The vision was one of war. The vision was one of incredible hardship. It actually says, I saw a vision of great conflict, and I understood what was coming our way. And so, having received this vision of great conflict, of difficulty, and of war, what do you think Daniel did? Daniel did what he always did. He prayed. In fact, for 21 days, Daniel prayed. And he fasted. And he wore no fragrant lotions, which means he didn't take a bath. For 21 days, he set himself apart and he sought the Lord. He simply sought God. And at the end of this period, he had another vision, which I'm going to read to you from verses 5 through 9. Daniel had a vision of great conflict. He prayed and he fasted for 21 days. And at the end of this 21-day fast, God comes to him again and he sees another vision. He says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision. And no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. This morning I want to answer a question that I know some of you have. How can I stand strong when I don't see God at work in my life? And all we're going to do is continue to do what we have been doing. We're taking a look at Daniel's life, and we're attempting to glean from his difficult experience wisdom that will help us stand strong in our difficult experience. And my prayer is that we will see some things in Daniel 10 that will help us stand strong in faith in our difficult days. And the first thing I want to tell you that I see in this passage is something that is also true for you. We need to remember when we are going through difficult times that God cares about us. If you have been going through a difficult time, if you have been setting yourself to pray and you don't see any hint that God is at work in your life, you need to know that God cares about you, that God loves you. You need to know this. He cares about you more than you care for yourself. Verse 10 and 11, Daniel says, and behold, a hand touched me, set me trembling on my hands and knees. And this man in linen said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. So God is reaching out to Daniel in this man who's clothed in linen. And through this man, God says to Daniel, O Daniel, you are greatly loved. You are treasured by God. You are precious to God. You are highly esteemed. And what I know is that some of us in this room right now need to have the same affirmation. Some of you have been going through difficult times for so long, you begin to wonder what's going on. And this morning, the only reason you may be here is to hear these words. God cares for you. God loves you. You are precious to Him. You are treasured by Him. Right now, you need to hear this. And you need to be reminded of this fact that there is nothing you can do that will make Him love you any more than He already does. And there is nothing that you can do that will cause Him to love you less than He does right now. Loved ones, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they love you because they love you. They love you because it is who they are. It is in their nature. It is their character. It is part and parcel with who they are. They are great lovers, and because of that, you can have confidence that no matter what's going on, you are greatly loved. So please hear me. God loves you. He really does. He looks on you with the same kind of love that a good father looks upon his children. You're precious to Him, and that means He cares about you. He cares about you more than you can care for yourself. This was God's message to Daniel. Oh, Daniel, man greatly loved. Freddie? Man greatly loved. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For now I have been sent to you. And when he spoke this word to me, I stood up trembling. Remember, Daniel had received a vision of great hardship, right? Great hardship that bothered him so much that he stopped eating for 21 days. He stopped bathing for 21 days. He was so bothered by the vision that he saw that the conflict that was coming was so harsh, he was desperate to find peace in the middle of it. And God comes to Daniel, who's been experiencing so stressed out, so anxious, so worried about his future and the future of his people. And God comes to him, and the first thing he says is, man greatly loved. Sometimes knowing that God loves us, sometimes knowing that we are precious to him, is exactly the thing that we need to stand strong in difficult times. It's the thing that will uphold us. It was the thing that will keep us going forward. When we are misrepresented at work and there is conflict there, knowing that God loves you is the thing that can keep you going on. When our marriage is spiraling out of control and there seems to be no hope to secure it for the future, knowing that God loves us and cares for us is the only thing sometimes that will keep us going and not surrendering to a place of complete hopelessness. When our children reject our faith, knowing that God cares for us and loves us, and knowing that God cares for them and loves them is sometimes the only thing that keeps us praying for them. Knowing that he does. When society names what we call good evil, knowing that God is with us and he cares for us and he loves us is sometimes the thing that keeps us standing strong in righteousness, right? Whatever road the difficulty approaches you from, you need to remember that God loves you and he cares for you personally. Hear this. He said, oh, Daniel. He called him by his Israelite name. Not the name that he was going by, Belteshazzar. Not the name that he was renamed by a pagan king. Oh, Daniel. And I pray that by the Spirit you may hear the Lord speak to you this morning. Oh, Rose, you're greatly loved. Oh, Franny, woman greatly loved. Over and over and over, I pray that the Lord will identify you and call you out, and you hear in your spirit the Lord saying, you're greatly loved. I have heard you, and I am with you at this moment. Hearing this will help us stand strong in difficult times. But you also need to know that God is doing more than you understand. Not only do you need to remember that he loves you more and he cares for you more than you care for yourself, you need to know that he is doing more than you can perceive. He is doing more than you understand. Look at verse 12. This angelic being says, then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself to pray, or since the first moment you prayed for understanding and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. There are times when we have prayed for so long that we wonder, has God heard? And in those times when life is difficult, when things are pressing in on our hearts, they're pressing in on our spirits, they're pressing in on our lives, we need to know, we need to understand that even though we may not see it, God is at work in our lives. He is doing more than we know, more than we understand, more than we can perceive. In verse 13, this angelic being tells Daniel, the prince of the kingdom of Persia has withstood me for 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, an archangel, came to help me. I left him there with the king of Persia. And I know that some of you have been praying for a long time about some particular things. Or maybe a particular thing especially you've been praying for over and over and over. In fact, some of you have been praying so long that you have begun to wonder, is it worth praying for it anymore? Some of you have prayed for things for so long, some of you have stopped praying along certain avenues of your life because you wondered, is it worth it? Maybe you said to yourself, why should I even bother? If God were going to answer this request, He would have done so already. It's wasted breath. He doesn't hear me. He's not interested in my situation. He's not listening. He's not going to do this anyway. Maybe it's just simply not His will. Or worse, maybe you've started to question His love. Maybe you've started to question His care. Maybe you've started to question His power because you've asked with as much faith as you know how to ask. And the Bible says, if you ask, you receive. If you ask in faith, and you're, what's going on? I've been asking with much faith as I possibly can, and still no answer, obviously. God is uninterested in my situation, or I'm asking something wrong, or He is impotent to take care of this situation. If that's you, I want you to know something. I want you to know that you know that you know that God heard you the moment you set yourself to prayer. And when He heard those first trembling words, He did not turn a back on you. He did not say, oh, there she is again. There He is again. I'm sick and tired of hearing this. From the moment you first prayed healing for that person that you love, God heard your prayer. The moment you first prayed for your child and begged God to do a miracle in their life, God heard you praying. The moment you first prayed, loved one, God heard your prayer. And you should also know that it's okay to keep on praying. You should also be confident that if you continue to persist in prayer, that God looks forward to that and He honors that and He will respond to that. In Luke chapter 18, there's a story of the persistent widow. You're familiar with the story, right? This persistent widow has a situation where she needs righteousness to be done. She is looking for a decision, a law decision to be made upon her behalf. She has been dealt with unrighteously. Evil has come her way. She has been wronged. So she goes to a judge and she says, Judge, return to me a verdict in my favor. Right this wrong. And the judge has no time for her. He's an unrighteous guy. He is indifferent. He is calloused against her. But the persistent widow keeps going. Judge, favor me with a righteous decision. Judge, rule in my favor. Judge, rule in my favor. And every morning, I don't know how, but time after time after time after time again, this persistent widow went to the judge and asked for him to do the right thing on her behalf. And at the end of the parable, the judge goes, I'm sick and tired of this woman bothering me. I'm tired of hearing her voice. I'm sick and tired of this nagging activity. I'm going to give her what she wants because I can't stand to hear her voice anymore. That's what happened. At the front end of the parable, the Bible says that Jesus told them this parable to teach them to continue to pray and not to lose heart. Now, loved one, let me tell you how to read this parable. When we read this parable, we are supposed to see the contrast between the judge and Jesus and the Lord, not to see congruencies, because the Lord is not like the judge. The judge is an unrighteous judge. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is righteous. The judge is indifferent. The judge is calloused. The Lord is caring and He is loving. And we are not to see where they are alike because they are nothing alike. We're not to see congruencies. We're to see contrasts. Here's the deal. The Lord's disposition towards us when we come to Him in faith believing is not one of a, you know, go tell somebody else. Tell it to the hand, right? His disposition towards one is a leaning in. And you need to understand that that's the case. Back to verse 13. It says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. That's what this man clothed in linen said. Now, who is this prince of the kingdom of Persia? Very simply, most Bible scholars say that it is a demonic force that is set on resisting God's purposes, specifically in the area of Persia. But it is a demonic force that is set against the purposes of God. The angelic being tells Daniel, You've been praying for 21 days. The moment you prayed, God heard your voice and He set me to answer you. But over the last 21 days, I have been resisted by this demonic influence. And while I was there, there came along the Archangel Michael, and he's taking care of the guy right now. I have come to talk to you. I think it's vital that we be aware that there is a spiritual battle that rages around us every moment of every day. And that battle is for our lives. That battle is for our souls. It's not a battle against the people who are around us. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. It is a battle that is against what the Bible calls dark spiritual powers and principalities. There are dark spiritual principalities and powers that are opposed to God working in your life, that are opposed to God's good purposes in your life. And they have set themselves against God, and because the Lord has chosen to delight Himself in you, they're set against your success. They are set against your growth in the kingdom. They are set against God's good purposes for you. And this battle is raging every moment of every day. It is raging right now. The enemy of our souls has dispatched some of his guys to resist what God wants to do in your life, Dale, in my life, in Gene's life, in all of our lives. It rages. We should be aware, because of that, that there is more going on than what we can see with our eyes and what we can perceive with our minds. God is doing more. See, this angelic being which God sent to Daniel says as much. This is what he tells Daniel. He says, "The moment you prayed, I was sent. And for 21 days, I have been doing battle with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. The archangel came and he is dealing with me so that I can come and I can answer your prayer." Let me go on aside, because I don't know what you've been taught. There's not really a good answer here. Some people see this angelic being as actually being a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. You take a look at how Daniel describes him. It mirrors a little bit what's going on in Revelation. But I think it's not, because I don't think the Lord Jesus Christ would have to struggle 21 days with the prince of the power of Persia. I think, you know, just move on. He wouldn't need to call Michael for help. Just my thought. But anyway, think about this. For 21 days, Daniel prayed. Day 1, he prayed. Day 2, he prayed. Day 3, he prayed. Day 4, he prayed. Day 18, he still hasn't eaten. He still hasn't taken a shower. He is praying and he has continued to pray. And during that time frame, what did he see? Nothing. Not one thing to indicate that God was even aware of his distress. He saw the vision that bothered him so much, he set himself to seeking the Lord, and the Lord did not answer that first day. Day 20, the Lord hadn't answered, and Daniel's still praying, and he doesn't know what's going on, but he's been praying and has been asking. Even though he didn't see anything, even though he didn't perceive anything, here's the truth: God was doing something. I hope this is encouraging to some of you, because some of you have been praying for a long time. Some of you have been praying for a very long time, and you've been crying out to God, and you haven't seen any evidence of any kind that He's heard you and that He's taking care of you. But just because you haven't seen anything doesn't mean God isn't doing something. And here's what I believe. I believe that God always engages our prayers the moment we begin praying. I believe He does. He doesn't just hear, but He engages our prayers. Sometimes that means, boom, we're delivered. Glorious moments, right? That's the way we want it always to happen. Lord, and we would love for Him to interrupt our sentences and just take care of it, don't you think? Sometimes that's how He handles it. But sometimes He sets Himself against the forces that are resisting our reception of His answer. Sometimes the forces that He sets Himself against are dark spiritual forces that are resisting God's work in our lives. Sometimes He has to work in our own hearts, He has to work in our own minds, because in our flesh we are resisting the purposes of God. But He set Himself to answer your prayer the moment you began praying. Sometimes He engages our prayer request with a "not a chance." I am more interested in your character than I am in your comfort. There are times when the Lord will not answer us as we ask because he's more concerned with who we're becoming than what we get. What I want is comfort. A lot of my prayers revolve around my comfort. But the Lord is less interested in my comfort. In fact, you could say he might not be all that particularly cared about my comfort as long as he's working on my character. And so sometimes the answer is a no, I can't give you this because you're asking for the wrong thing. Not just so that you would spend it on yourself, but because if I were to answer you in this way, you would delight in yourself and you would take pleasure in this world and you were not intended to take pleasure in this world. You ever wonder why things are so difficult here? You ever wonder? He's a glorious God, right? And he gives lavishly, right? And we have experience of sublime joy in this life, don't we? That joy that you experience when you hold in your hand your child, your newborn child for the first time, there's little joy like that. Or when you're at the beach and it's just a glorious day and the sun rises, or you're the other side of the coast and the sun is setting. Or you're at home and the windows are open. It's one of those beautiful fat snowflake days and, you know, it's just joy. Loved ones, if we experience a continuous line of one lovely, high, glorious moment after another, we would be satisfied in this world, and we were never intended to be satisfied in this world. The brokenness in this world, the tragedies that are part of this world, are God's gift to us that will cause us to look to Him. If He just answered us over and over and over, it is not God's will to answer every request we give. It's not. Because if he were just to do that, we would never desire him. There would be no ache for the kingdom, the land that we were created for. We were not created to be satisfied in this broken world. That's why in this brokenness, there are times of anguish and there are times of sorrow and there are times of high disappointment where our heart cries out, Lord, where are you? And where he is reigning on his throne in good love for you, and that's why people we love die. We weren't created for this world as it is. But we have the promise he's doing something even when we can't perceive it. And what he's doing, he is working in our lives and he is accomplishing his will. And his final will is there's going to be a day when the heavens will be recreated. And the world will be recreated. And everybody that died in its weakness will be resurrected and united with that spirit and re-engineered in a glorious, wonderful way. The sorrow that is in this world, the brokenness that is in this world, loved one, is God's good gift to you so that you would desire him and not be satisfied here. And when we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray and we wonder what's going on, God is working his goodness out in our lives. And he is engaged. The moment we prayed, before the first trembling syllables out of your mouth was the Lord was there hearing and he engaged himself in your prayers. How do we know that he's engaged in our prayers right now? It's a good question. How do I know? Sometimes you want to know, don't you? If you just knew, Jeremiah 33:3, God tells the Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. In Psalm 50, verse 15, he says, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Call on me, I will answer. Call on me, I will deliver. Numbers 23, verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? Call on me, he says. Will he deliver me? He will deliver me into his purposes. Sometimes he will deliver me out of my situation because that is his good purpose. Sometimes he will keep me in that situation and deliver me into a greater gift that he had in store for me, which is the fashioning of my character. He's making me more like Jesus Christ. It's good news. It's good news. It's comforting. Loved ones, the first time you cried out to God, he heard you and he involved himself in your life. So please keep praying. Position yourself like the persistent widow. Give me justice. Hear my word. And don't think that you're going to wear him down. No, we're going to wear the Lord down in prayer. No, you're not. You don't have to wear him down. You don't have to break through his resistance to bless you. He's not resistant to us. See what is different between the Lord and that judge. Not what is the same, because they're nothing alike. Keep standing strong. Keep believing in faith, even though you may see nothing to indicate that He is active in your life right now. Please know that the same God who loves and cares for you more than you care for yourself is doing more than you're aware of. Please know that. For 21 days, the battle raged in the heavens because God responded to Daniel's prayer on day one. He responded the moment Daniel set himself to pray and humbled and sought the Lord's face. So again, just because you don't see God doing something doesn't mean that He isn't doing something. And though I don't know all that you've been praying for how long, I do know that God is engaged in your life. He is engaged in your life at the area that you are praying. He's doing more than you know, so don't give up. Don't give up. Keep standing strong. Remember, He cares more about you than you do, and know that He's doing more than you're aware of. And the final thought I want to encourage you with is this: God's strength really is made perfect in your weakness. His strength really is made perfect in your weakness. Some of you will come to the place in your life, in your faith, where it feels like you don't have anything left to give. Some of you might be there right now. There might be an avenue that you've prayed and you've tried to exercise your faith and you're just done. I don't have anything else. That's when you can be your strongest. For that's when God's power becomes the most real. Here's the truth. Unless you recognize your weakness, you will never appreciate, you will never understand, you will never experience the full extent of God's strength. Unless you recognize your weakness, you will never appreciate, understand, or experience the full extent of God's strength. Do you want to experience that? Do you want to experience the fullness of God's strength? I do. I don't want to have to, though. I want to experience the fullness of God's strength, but I don't ever want to be in a situation where I need it. I want everything to be easy for me, and you do too. I don't want to ever be in a desperate situation. I always want to be in an easy situation. I don't want to ever be in a place where all that holds me together is the Lord's grace. I don't want to be at the end of myself. I don't want to be the end of my rope. I don't want to be the end of my resources. I don't want to need anybody's help ever. But if I don't recognize that I am weak, I will never call out for His strength. If I never recognize how truly weak and needful I am, I will always trust in myself, and my life will never glorify Him as fully as it intends to. And if everything that takes place in my life can be explained by the strength and the energy that I exert, God will never be glorified in my life. So I want to experience the fullness of God's strength. And if I want to experience the fullness of God's strength, I have to recognize how truly needy I am, and I have to quit trusting in myself. I have to quit spiraling, you know, conniving and thinking and planning and strategizing the next few comfortable years of my life. I have to trust Him. Because in my weakness, in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. When we've prayed all we can pray and feel that we don't have any more faith to exert, that's when God's power has the potential to become most real in your life. In Daniel chapter 17, Daniel said, "No strength remains in me, no breath is left in me." Has anybody ever been there? Identify with Daniel. Your strength is gone. You've been hanging on to your marriage. You've been holding out for your kids. You've been fighting this battle, and you've been fighting that battle. And while you're trying to juggle these two battles, battles come approaching you from all sorts of distance, and your strength is all gone. You have nothing left to give. Things are so incredibly difficult that at times it seems you can't even breathe. If so, consider verse 18 and 19. The one having the appearance of a man touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong and of good courage. Loved ones, I want you to know that I believe you can do this. I believe you can stand strong. I believe you can keep standing strong in your faith. I believe this because I know the first moment you prayed, God heard your prayer. The moment you first prayed, He involved Himself in your life as a response to that prayer. And He is here right now to make you strong. Even though you may have never felt weaker at any moment in your life, He is here to make you strong right now. And let me be honest with you, He may do exactly what you've been asking for. You may have been praying for 21 days, you may have been praying for 21 years, and maybe this week He's going to answer you in the exact way you've been asking. Maybe He will keep you praying for another 21 years. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know He's doing something. And whatever that something is, I know it is good. Philippians chapter 1, that's what Paul says. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, Paul went through a difficult time. He's in jail. Nobody, when you're in jail, you know you're praying to get out, right? You know that you haven't been there, but you know if you were there, you're praying to get out. Paul's praying to get out. People are praying to get out, and here's what Paul says. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has begun known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. How does you're confident in the Lord when God brings you out of prison, right? When He's praying and the cell is shaking and you walk out. That's when people become confident in the Lord. People have become confident in the Lord in my imprisonment. Paul's testimony of God's grace being there encouraged people in their faith so they became strong in the Lord. Confident in the Lord by my imprisonment are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Don't you think if you were praying for somebody to be delivered out of prison and the walls fell down and they wiped out, you would be strengthened to tell the Lord's glories, right? Oh, let me tell you a story. I prayed for Paul. He was in jail. I don't know how it happened, but the bars melted and he walked out. He's awesome. Paul says, I'm in jail, I'm still here, and because I'm still trusting the Lord here, people are strengthened to tell others about Him. God glorifies Himself in every situation when He finds somebody who's there to glorify Him. Loved ones, when you hold strong to your faith in God through the most difficult times, here's what's going to happen. People are going to look on you and wonder how on earth you are doing it. When you stand strong and you don't surrender your faith in difficult times, people are going to wonder, how is she hanging in there? How is it that he is still standing up? Why haven't they given up? And you're going to answer them, because I haven't forgotten how much my God cares for me. And I know that there is more going on around me than I can see with my own eyes. And I am not undone by this, and I'm not ashamed of my weakness and what's going on in my life, because my weakness and my disappointment is just another opportunity for God to show how strong He is. That's why I'm still standing. And that's why I haven't given up. So loved ones, know that God cares for you. And He loves you more than you know. Know that He is active in your life right now at the place that you are most desperate. He's doing more than you can perceive. And don't be upset by how weak you feel, because in your weakness, God's strength is made perfect. Is there anybody here who says, Pastor Brian, I need these truths? Anybody? Yeah, a number of us. Let's pray that God would work in our hearts right now. Lord, it is our confession that we are weak, but you are strong. We pray that in your presence, the Holy Spirit would strengthen us right now to have faith, to believe that you care for us and you love us to the extent that you do. We pray, Lord, that you will be done, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, in all the areas where we have come before you over the last days and over the last weeks and months and years, and we have prayed for you to show your hand in our lives, and we haven't seen it yet, we continue to pray and ask that you would answer us favorably. Pray that you would give us justice. Pray that you would give us healing. Pray that you would provide for us everything that we need. And we ask that you would provide for us abundantly above all of that. You can do more than we even ask. And that's exactly how you work. You give us more than we ask. You give us more than we deserve. But I pray at this moment, Lord, you would sustain us in our faith, and you would build us in our faith, and you would cement in our hearts hope that the gospel brings to us, that tells us you are with us and you love us and you are engaged in our life, even though we can't perceive it. Lord, I pray for those who have given up, those who have stopped praying, that you would give them a gift of faith at this moment, that they would set themselves to seeking your face again, that if they have stopped fasting for you to work in their lives, that they would set themselves to fasting again. If they no longer get on their knees because it feels like an exercise and wasted time, that they would get on their knees day after day after day in joyful hope and confidence that you are working in their lives. You are working in our lives, Lord. Help us to have this confidence. Would you sustain us? Help us to run the race with perseverance. Help us to fight the good fight, the faith that you've placed before us. Let there come a moment when we stand before you, when you can look upon us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us not to lose hope. Help us not to surrender to those spirits that would resist your work in our life. Crucify our flesh so that we may pursue you. And set yourself to combat demonic spirits that would resist your spirit work in our lives so that you have the freedom to move in us in the exact way that you want us to move, be moved, Lord. You are our portion. You are our portion. You are exceedingly great reward. Help us to delight and be satisfied in that. You are our great God. And in the middle of our brokenness, in the middle of our disappointment, we want to say, how great you are! How great you are! Lord, may your strength be made perfect in our lives this week in a way that has never been perfected before. In Jesus' name. Amen. And would you stand and just sing this with me? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God. Amen. You are great. You are great, and you are greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now I bless you all to go in the power of your great God, to walk into a dark world as lights that shine and point the way to the Messiah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us love one another. If you can carpool, please carpool. If you can drive and park on the grass gently, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.